Epilogue, Knowing Jesus and His Word. Commentary for the December 28, 2024 Sabbath School Lesson by Stephen Terry, Director, Stillwaters Ministry, www.visitstillwaters.com. He is not here, he has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee? Luke 24, verse 6. At Christmas time, the entire world makes note of the baby born in a manger to save humanity. But when they come to the manger, they find the baby is not there, for he has risen. They come to find him beside the Jordan River, where John baptized him, but he is not there, for he has risen. They wander the wilderness searching for the places where Jesus withstood the powerful temptations of the evil one. But he is not there, for he has risen. They search for the mount where he preached to the crowds about love and trust in God, but he is not there, for he has risen. They search for the very spots where he healed the leprous, the crippled, the blind, and the possessed, but he is not there, for he has risen. They search for the place where he called the temple his father's house, even though those who ran the temple denied him and plotted to kill him. But he is not there, for he has risen. With guilt and shame, they climb to the place where he bled out his life on a rude cross, vowing they would have treated him differently. But they are too late, for he is not there, he has risen. At last, catching up to him now that he is dead, they come to the tomb that held him. But he is not there, for he has risen. For a brief moment, surrounded by millennia of darkness, a bright light shone in this world. That light delivered all the brightness humanity could handle, and then some. While for those who had dwelt in darkness for so long, it represented hope and promise, for those who claimed they already had the light, it overshadowed them, and it represented a loss of the control they believed they had over the people and the temple. In an ancient rendition of prosperity theology, they believed that their power and prosperity were evidences of God's favor and therefore endorsements by God Himself of their theology. Rather than seeing the humility of Job as evidence of God's favor, they see that favor demonstrated in Job's wealth, pointing out how much wealthier God made him in the end. They worship the wealth of Solomon without understanding the humility and faithfulness of his father David. They want to call down fire and brimstone on Nineveh, but like Jonah, sit fuming when God denies them that opportunity. Convinced they are more righteous about justice than God Himself, they deny the mercy and compassion that flow from the throne of grace. That compassion sent a tiny baby to endure over his life all the calumny and disrespect that humanity could throw at him. His was a mostly vain effort to reignite that love that once existed between humanity and their Creator. Humanity walked away long ago, but God still hopes that we will tire of the pain and suffering our choices bring and come back to love and the relationship where it thrived. Little has changed over the past 2,000 years. Today, the Bible continues to be the most unread bestseller in history. We live in a society that claims to be a Christian culture without the slightest idea of what it means to be a follower of Christ. There is not one person on the face of the earth that Jesus did not give his life for. But we exclude communists, socialists, Nazis, gays, transgenders, immigrants, ethnicities other than our own, city dwellers, rural folks, old people, young people. In other words, we exclude anyone who is not us and how we define ourselves. Anything or anyone who is different is suspect and therefore likely not a Christian. Sorry, Jesus, but had we been there, we would not have welcomed Judas into the fold. So sad for you that you did. We figured out that if we turn the other cheek and they hit us again, we are then free to retaliate in kind with even more force until they come to recognize our strength and therefore our superior religion as well. After all, it was not a bunch of peaceniks that conquered the Roman Empire for Christ. We still appeal to that kind of power when we claim the right to dominate the world because we are a Christian nation destined to rule and build empire as divinely endorsed by how successful it has been. We shall avoid mentioning the fall of the Christian Byzantine Empire to a Muslim caliphate or the successes of several Asian empires at resisting and even overrunning and destroying Christian kingdoms. We tend to see Christianity as a manifest destiny to rule others, citing Cortez defeating the heathen Aztecs or Pizarro, the Incas of Peru, as divine endorsement of that destiny. They forget how often the European continent shook with warfare over different competing visions of Christianity. Catholics, Huguenots, Calvinists, Anabaptists, Church of England, and several others all fought each other as the sprinkling of pagans in their midst dwindled to insignificance. Even today, the great schism between the Eastern Church and the Church of Rome has not healed. Toleration has mostly replaced open warfare, but one can still feel the iciness between the different denominations. It all boils down to one thing. As Christians, we refuse to allow that any other theological perspective has validity save our own. For most of us who lack the power to enforce those convictions, this is more of an annoyance than a problem. But when backed by the power of enforcement, people are made to choose sides in conflicts that otherwise would mean little to them, to secure their livelihood and even their right to exist should the controlling power become strong enough to destroy lives with impunity. We see this attitude in the treatment of dissenters within most denominations. If employed by the church, they are fired by the church. If housed by the church, they are evicted by the church. If they have a family, they are encouraged to think of the harm to their family by opposing the church. There is a reason why Jesus was never employed by the temple and was a homeless itinerant, according to Luke 9, verse 58, never having a wife or children. This left him free to speak as the Spirit guided him. Too many ministers do not realize today that in seeking a ministerial career, they are bartering away their freedom under the Spirit for a poorer trade than received by those who sold Manhattan Island to the Dutch. Their income, their family, and their future all become hostages to an indifferent church willing to sacrifice whatever is necessary to maintain control, even the lives of its own, wherever it has the power to do so. So what is the answer? Jesus gave us a good model by being with the synagogue, but not of the synagogue. When he saw the errors perpetuated by those in power, he did not buy into them. When challenged by power, he spoke truth to it, pointing out the errors so long advanced by the religious leaders that those errors had become the default truth. In modern Christianity, we have the official truth, and we have the actual truth. Those who study theology and as a result question what their denomination holds true are confronted, suppressed, defrocked, if possible, fired, and if sufficient control exists, cast out of their denomination. This can strike terror to the families of those who remain and suppress any desire to speak out against such abusive behavior. Full tuition for my alma mater, Walla Walla University, is now over $180,000 full cost to obtain a theology degree in 4 years. even with average costs after financial aid, it is still just under $100,000. Many graduate heavily in debt. If they are not employed by a conference, there is little that a bachelor's degree in theology can provide for employment outside the denomination. Also, conferences make clear they prefer to hire married theology graduates. It is not hard to imagine the tremendous leverage this gives the church over these newly minted ministers. They have a heavy debt load to carry. Some of it is owed to the university. And should they lose their job, the university is not hesitant to immediately turn the account over to a collection agency. Grace and compassion are not good business models. Newlywed parents often bring newly birthed babies with them. More leverage for the leadership to demand there be no questioning of dogma or lines of ecclesiastical authority. Since most young ministers do not have a place to live, they may find themselves in a parsonage or receiving a rental allowance, either of which can be instantly terminated for theological questions deemed out of order. How different the situation of the minister today is from what was modeled by Jesus and practiced by the early church. I would encourage anyone who is considering a ministerial career to count the cost and decide whether you choose to serve Christ freely or serve the church for an income. Those who confuse serving Christ with serving for an income may find that Jesus is not there, for he has risen. Overcommitment to church leadership can put one on the road to Damascus, where change, even though clearly evidenced, can be hard. Even without a family and with the ability to support himself in a trade, it still took Paul years to recover. How much more so for those without those advantages? Thank you for listening to this commentary podcast. You can find the written version of this commentary, along with hundreds more commentaries and podcasts, at our website at www.visitstillwaters.com. You can also find other articles and links to books written by the author at our website. Once again, that's Stillwaters Ministry, www.visitstillwaters.com. May God richly bless you and your family.